voice of reason in the medical world. Dr. Fred Brown from Griffin Health talks to Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
Dr. Brown, you and I have been working real hard since beginning of the pandemic to try and figure out what exactly our future is going to look like when it comes to vaccines, boosters, so on and so forth. And this big announcement this week, I thought, I can't get Dr. Brown on quick enough, is saying that if you had the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine, you may not need that booster after all. Could you speak on this, please?
Absolutely can. And I'm not necessarily surprised about this. And it isn't different sort of what we've been talking about, Melissa. This is somewhat expected. So let me just go through a little bit of the science related to this. So the Moderna and the Pfizer vaccine, because they're using an mRNA vaccine, which again translates in the ribosomes and develops protein and is very, very effective in what it does. It doesn't go through any alternative mechanisms. It goes directly to the production in the cells to produce this protein and then develops antibodies. The early studies actually demonstrated that there was a really high response to people who actually got the vaccine. And we've talked about it. This is the best vaccine we've seen in history. Mm-hmm. It has the highest efficacy, in the mid-90s, which is a huge, huge deal. We don't see that in any other vaccine. We don't see that type of efficacy. It just doesn't happen. So I'm not surprised. So the question that came up is, does that efficacy last longer? So is there a lasting effect to these antibodies that we develop? And I think this is the first study from nature that demonstrates that it has a long-lasting effect. I'm actually not surprised about this. I'm just glad that there's now scientific proof that shows that it's there. Mm-hmm. Now, that being said, we do know that, and I think you're going to hear probably next week, there's resistance to the vaccine. But we've talked about this before also, is that there is going to be some resistance to the vaccine. But when you're starting at 95%, that resistance will bring you down to maybe the normal level of a vaccine. So that's actually not a bad thing. That's actually really, really good.
So what do you mean by that, Dr. Brown, that the resistance? Sure. Like, what do you mean by that?
Well, so we know that there's strains the different strains are occurring, right? We know the South African strain came out. We know the UK strain is now a predominant strain in the United States. And now we know about the Delta variant. All these are mutations, and they do cause changes to the proteins. Mm-hmm. And when they cause the changes to the protein, they can decrease the ability of the vaccine to be effective.
Gotcha.
So what happens is that it can decrease that efficacy. If it decreases it, it only decreases it a few percentage points, not completely. You don't become completely
doesn't wipe it out.
The vaccine. Exactly. That's exactly right.
Okay. So, I mean, here's my follow-up to that, Dr. Brown.
Sure.
So if we didn't need a booster next year, so I got the Pfizer, and most of my family got Pfizer or Moderna. And if we don't need the booster, I mean, how long, and maybe I'm too premature asking this, but how long could it essentially last in our bodies? I mean, are we talking this is good for 5 years, 10 years, life? I mean, at some point, will we need to go through this again, or is it too soon to ask that question?
I think that's a good question, Melissa, and the answer is going to be in theory. So our bodies respond to the vaccine. There is good evidence to show when it responded to the vaccine, it has memory for this, for these antibodies. So it remembers it. And this is how vaccines work anyway. So now we have memory. It goes into these memory cells, and then when it gets an exposure to this spike protein, then these memory cells rapidly respond and develop antibodies. That's what it does. These antibodies, depending on how stable an organism is, these antibodies can be effective lifelong. And in fact, I'm going to go ahead out limb and say that the vaccine that people got are going to last their life. However,
really?
Just so we're clear.
Hold on. Yep.
Don't get too excited.
Okay.
The problem is that viruses change.
Right.
And the more they change, the more likely that the antibodies that you have currently in your body now won't be effective. So the answer is that for this strain right now, if it doesn't change, and it doesn't change significantly, or it has some minor changes, which is fine, then you're going to be immune potentially lifelong. If it mutates, changes, becomes different strains, and those strains become significant enough, a significant enough change, that's when we're going to need a booster. Now, the good news is that if we can get the pandemic under control, if we can get the numbers down in India, if we can get the numbers down in Australia, get them down to numbers that are you know, not pandemic levels, not millions of people, but hundreds or hundreds of thousands of people, then we're actually getting this under control and our vaccine will continue to work.
So how likely is it, Dr. Brown, that we'll get those countries under control?
I think it's pretty good.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
You know, I think with the vaccine being out, and remember, there's two ways to develop herd immunity. There's one with the actual you getting the infection. So once you get the infection, you develop immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know that that's not necessarily longer lasting immunity, but that does give you some passive immunity for you know, maybe, you know, definitely 90 days, probably a year, and gives you some immunity. And then the vaccine lasts longer. But we do know that if you get infected or get the vaccine, that actually counts towards herd immunity. So the more people who actually get it, the more people that can't get it again or won't get it again. If they don't get it again, then it stops spreading, and then we get it under control.
Hmm.
Does
okay.
that make sense?
Yeah, no, it all makes sense.
You want to
sense.
Translate
I'm,
for me?
No,
I know you're really good at that.
That all makes sense. I'm like processing in my mind. Of course, I'm such a like a literal person, and I'm thinking, okay, so how much time do we have to get these countries under control? But no, everything you just said makes complete sense. I just get too deep into my mind, and I start to go down a rabbit hole. But that's my problem. So, Dr. Brown, you know what I thought of as you're talking about the COVID vaccine and how this is the best vaccine we've seen in history, the best efficacy and all that?
Right.
I'm curious, when the pandemic comes to an end, because I'm optimistic that it will.
Yes.
I'm curious, do you think the drug companies, or I should say the vaccine creators, do you think they'll go back to the archives and go, how do we make things like the flu vaccine more effective, or how do we make booster shots, like when we have to get tetanus and things? I mean, we still have to go back 4 or 5 years later to go and get like some of these shots. Do you think that after the COVID vaccine was created and has shown so much success, that we'll kind of go back to the drawing board and take some of these vaccines that have been around for decades and make them more effective and also last longer?
So the answer is yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
So, interesting enough, that's very intuitive of you again, Melissa.
Oh man, so, Dr. Brown, whenever you want to hire me as your sidekick, I am here for you, my friend.
So that's very interesting. So yes, we have. So yeah, so right now I could tell you that there are several companies that are not necessarily working on the COVID-19 vaccine, and there are some that are still working on the COVID-19 vaccines. They're trying to develop mechanisms, including an oral vaccine for COVID-19. So you just take a pill and use it that way.
Wow.
There are companies that are currently looking for, it's called the universal vaccine for influenza, and it's fascinating. What they're trying to do is there is a stable part of the flu vaccine, so something that doesn't change every year. They're trying to develop an antibody to that, or have the ability to develop an antibody to that area within the flu that doesn't change. And what that means is if you can develop a vaccine that'll focus on just that part of the flu, then you don't need to get a flu shot every year.
Wow.
It's a one and done.
Wow.
Yeah, so
that
so
would be awesome.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, yes.
So the other thing that I think you're intuitive to think about the vaccines and making those more effective, because I think mRNA technology is here to stay, is that this is actually another mechanism for treatment of cancer and other illnesses. Because now we can use mRNA to focus not just on viral proteins, but it can actually focus on cancer proteins.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very exciting. I think this is a, you know, again, the pandemic is a sad thing, and I know it was traumatic, and it almost led to an entire pause year for us where we just sort of, you know, almost like a skip year.
Right.
But what it's led to is it's led to a lot of scientific breakthroughs that have now become mainstream. And now this technology, which has now become mainstream, there's been a lot of testing around it, can now be used for numerous other applications. And said this could be a mechanism to treat different types of cancers. It could actually advance the HIV vaccine that we've been working on for the last 20 years.
Wow.
So it's actually in every crisis, you know, some good things do come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one, and at least in the world of science, this is actually a leap in the genetic world.
But I'm curious, Dr. Brown, you know, mRNA, as I've learned from you, has been around since the 90s. So like why did we, I don't want to say wait, that's not the right word, but in lack of time, you know, why did we get to a point where we had a global pandemic to realize, wow, we have this thing in our pocket that we could be using for more than just this pandemic? Like, why did it take this long to use this?
So we've been using it from a research standpoint.
Okay.
But any type of research takes a lot of time to put together. Unless there's an urgency to get it out there, there really isn't necessarily since you don't have that time pressure or time crunch to get it out, then it has to take its natural course. And it takes a really long time to get new medications out and new therapies out. It does take quite a bit of time. And I think that's sort of the issue that we had to deal with this technology. So they've been working on it. It's just may have not. And then on the obvious thing is that, you know, vaccines until now are not, there's not a lot of financial incentive to doing a vaccine. And it's unfortunate. And we get that a lot in healthcare that there's, you know, if there's no,
like, there's not a lot of funding behind, like,
correct,
backing. I got you.
That's correct.
I got you.
I mean,
wow.
There may be some grant funding and research funding.
Right.
But there's not necessarily an, you know, industry standard. There's not a lot of people who say, I'll spend any amount of money to get my tetanus shot. You know?
Sure, sure. No, that makes sense. I didn't think about that. That makes sense. Wow. Well, Dr. Brown, you blew my mind, as you do every week. So I appreciate that. And I thank you so much. And we'll check in again next week.
Absolutely, Melissa. Have a good week. Have a good 4th of July.
Ah, you're the best. You too, Dr. Brown. Thank you so much.